your body. Maybe it's been in your family. Maybe it's been in your finances. Maybe it's been in your emotions. Maybe it's been in your mental health. But I know that there's been a lot of suffering that's gone on with people, and we see it all over. But I know that even here, there's been people, and you just feel completely spent. You just feel like you have nothing left. And I want to minister to you this morning. When we get in those places, the necessary thing is to believe. Believe. The devil is after believers to get them to stop believing. And so it says here, she had spent all that she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. That's funny how life is. Life is that way sometimes. Sometimes we've done all we can do to be better, to get better, to have better, and it seems like it's gotten worse. You know, when things seem like they've gotten worse, I know God is at His best. When things seem like they've gotten at their worst, I know that God is getting at His very best. Amen. And it says here, when she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and she touched His cloak. Now, I want to bring you back to the first part of that verse. When she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Him, when she heard about Him. Have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard what He's done? Have you looked at other people's life? Have you seen Him active in your life? See, just on somebody's word, when she heard about Jesus, she said to herself, I need to get to Him and I need to touch His cloak. Jesus is a personal Christ. He's a personal God. And it says here, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak because she thought, in another translation, she said to herself, if I could just touch His clothes, I will be healed. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. I don't know what kind of suffering that you could be going through today. I don't know what the devil has come with at you today. I don't know what he's come with at your family today. But what I know is that when you touch Him, that the suffering stops. And it says, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. So here Jesus is, and He's walking. He's trying to get to this little girl that the daddy had said, will you come and pray for my daughter? She's dying. But before He could get there, there's a woman, and she had been through so much suffering for 12 years. She did spend everything she had, and she touched the very hem of his garment or his cloak. Now, y'all, look at your hem here. You've all got clothes on, praise God. I say that because back in the day when I was a kid, there was one guy, and every once in a while he'd come and he wouldn't have a shirt on, or he'd have a button-down shirt, but he wouldn't have it buttoned. And boy, people get so offended over that. Pastor Angelo, how dare you be such an awful pastor? You let somebody come in here and sit down with their belly showing? That's an abomination. I'd encourage you to just, when you get to church, you mind your own business. And you don't be judging on folks, because I'm going to tell you, here's what I've learned about judging. You'll be judging somebody, and you'll be doing the same thing if you ain't careful. That's what judging will get you. But this lady, she touched the hem of His garment, and when she did it, Jesus felt power leave Him. There's power in believing. There's power in believing. She said to herself before she ever went towards Him, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'm going to be healed. She believed that when she touched Him, that was all that it was going to take. She didn't even have to have His attention. She touched Him. And when she touched Him, He felt, Jesus Christ Himself felt power leave Him and go up into somebody else. What does that tell you? There is power in believing. There is power in believing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't matter when these accounts were written. He's the same. He's the same. And so at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, and then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Your believing, your acting, your faith." What do you need for answered prayer? You need faith. You need to believe that when you're asking God for something, that He's able. That He's able. I don't know about y'all, but when my kids ask me for something, there's things they won't ask their daddy for that they'll ask me for. You know why? Because they know that, first of all, I'm a pushover. But, John, they know that I have the ability to give them what they're asking for. Now, they ain't asking me for Lamborghinis or nothing, and they ain't getting that. But they know who to ask. There's power in believing. There's power in believing. You can throw blank prayers up there, or you can pray and know and narrow in what you're praying for. Don't pray for a husband, just any old thing. You may get a deadbeat that don't got a job and can't take you out nowhere. Now, that ain't fun. Whatever you're praying for, you need to narrow it in and be specific. Amen? If you're praying for a job, tell God the kind of job that you'd like to have. I'm going to keep reading here. Y'all cold? Apparently Skinny Frank has gotten cold. He's hard to not pay attention to. He decided he wanted to try to match my shirt, and now he's wearing fluorescent orange. All right. I like fluorescent colors. We went to Disney. I made the whole family wear fluorescent. And you know what? I have no regrets, because that place is a one and done. I ain't never felt so much anxiety as going there. I was thinking, where's my four? In them fluorescent colors. We all got lost up in there. But I could spot them out. Amen. So it says here, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and they said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" In verse 36, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. Now, I like the beginning of the verse 36. It says, ignoring what they said, Jesus went on and he spoke to them. The little girl was dead. Jesus didn't care what they were saying. They were trying to save him some time. He ignored what they said. You know, Jesus is going to ignore things that's said about you. When somebody said that you're no good, when somebody said that you can't do it, when somebody says, why bother with them, when somebody says this or somebody says that, he's going to ignore what's been said about you, and he's going to act on your behalf, and that's a powerful thing. Can you believe him for it? When the doctors have said one thing, you think God is going to stop with what they said? I'm here this morning to get you in a place and to try to motivate you to increase your faith and increase your belief, because he can do exactly what he did for this woman. He can do exactly what he did for this little girl. But he looked at the guy and he said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Now this little girl, she was already dead. She died while he was trying to get to her. If there's something that you're believing God for and fear has crept into that place and it's trying to get you in a state of doubt and unbelief, I'm telling you this morning and I'm showing you in his word, don't be afraid, but you've got to believe. If you can't do anything else, you've got to believe. You've got to get your heart set on the fact that he's going to do what he said he was going to do for you in your life. Now, we read several verses on. He prays for this little girl. He lays his hands on her and he says, little girl, get up. Well, guess what she did? She got up and she lived. Amen. Go with me now to Mark chapter 9. We're going to begin reading at verse 14. I always love to hear that sound of pages turning, because what it tells me is that people are getting into this for themselves. Your pastor can read the Bible to you for 45 minutes, but that is not going to get you into heaven. You need more than 45 minutes a week with the Lord. You need him every day, and you need him in a private prayer life, in a private moment with him on a daily basis. That's called working out your own salvation. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Verse 19, O unbelieving generation! Unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. You know, I believe that we are still in a very unbelieving generation. It seems like people will believe in anything but Christ. It seems like people will believe in anything but Christ. People always ask me, well, did you see where the news said this, this, and this? No, because I don't watch the news. You know why? Because they don't have any good news on there. Now, I will interject this one thing. Am I crazy or what? Y'all see a bunch of good news on the news? I feel anxiety after I've watched anything that's on the news. Now, I will tell you, on Tuesday, there is going to be something very good on the news. It's your pastor. Some very sweet folks nominated me for Remarkable Woman of Arkansas. And I was one of four that they chose. I don't know who won. Look here, I don't have to win it to be happy. I know that God has done a remarkable thing. He's done it in my life. He's done it in this church. He's done it in the lives of people. But I don't watch the news because it's not real edifying. But people will watch it and they'll believe everything that it said. Most of the time I don't believe anything I hear, and about half the time I don't believe anything I see. Because I've learned that there's a lot of fake things that go on. And I'm interested in people that want to be real believers, just real people, just wanting to keep it real. And he says, oh, unbelieving generation. And he kind of gets on to him here. How long do I got to put up with y'all? Can you imagine if Jesus was the pastor in a modern-day church? People, there'd be nobody in there. Just because he got right to the point. How long am I going to have to put up with you? I couldn't get away with saying that. But he called it like it was. He was sick of the unbelief. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. From childhood. Don't tell me that the devil don't want to mess with children. If you've got a child that you're raising, first of all, you should be raising them in God's house. They should be at church. They should be with you. You should also be being an example. Don't ask your children to do something that you're not doing yourself. You know how much hypocrisy goes on just in child raising? A lot. Don't ask your children to do something that you're not living. You better be living it in front of them. And if you got grandkids, you're not exempt either. You better be living who you're saying that you are for people to be able to see. Because one thing that kids are very good at is spotting out hypocrites. I got one kid, if I'm dressed up like a and I don't look good in something, I'm not asking him. Now I got another kid. Melissa, he going to tell me, Mama, you're the most beautiful woman in the whole world. Mama, ain't nobody as pretty as you. But there's some days I know he's lying. Because I ain't pretty that day. I got to go to the other kid who's just brutally honest without a fault. Carson, how'd I look? Oh, my God, Mom. Please don't go out with me in public wearing that. There goes all my self-confidence right there in one comment. But anyways, since childhood, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Don't tell me that the devil don't try to get your kids. What did we just read? Many times it's tried to throw them in the fire. Many times it's tried to put them in the water. Why? To kill him. Parents, parent up. Grandparents, grandparent up. All of us, let's do the best that we can do by these kids. Take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Here the boy's father was, and he was asking Jesus to do a miracle to cast this demon out. And Jesus asked him, what do you mean, if I can? Everything's possible if you believe it. And the man said something, and it was powerful because it was an observation of what was really going on inside of him, and what was going on was there was a little bit of doubt there. And he says, I do believe. Help me, Jesus, to overcome the unbelieving part of me. I believe that there's people in here, and you're asking God for some very big things. I'm going to encourage you to believe with everything that you have. There is power in believing. Believing. I remember in the very beginning of my pastorship, I believed that God wanted to give us the church a piece of property. And when I tell you God has had to work on me, God has had to really do some overhauling. And He put it on my heart to pray for this. And my dumb self goes, Lord, if it's your will you please do. And immediately, right in my spirit, He said, Kelly, I just told you I want to do that for you. Don't ask me if it's my will. You know what I've just said to you. Pray it again. Pray it again. Now, when I'm praying, I don't want to just be wasting my time. I want to say some very specific prayers to God. God, put me at the right place at the right time. Lord, and then I just get real elaborate and real detailed. So, everything is possible for him who believes. When you're praying for the big thing that you're needing God to work out in your life, is there any part of you that's doubting that he can do it? Because if there is, address that unbelief. Pray over the unbelief. When you're praying, a lot of times I can spot unbelief in my prayers because as I'm praying them, the devil will creep in there and say, well, you know, that's not going to happen because of this, this, and this. And right then, when that happens to me, I just stop that praying about what I'm asking God for, and I start praying over the unbelief in my life. Lord, I'm going to put this prayer on pause because, Lord, apparently I need to pray over some unbelief that I've got going on. So, Lord, help me to trust you more. Help me to have more faith. Help me to believe that the thing that I'm asking for, you can do it. The church applied for a grant. I have known about this grant opportunity for a few years, and I never took the time to apply for it. And I'll tell you why. Because up until this year, it was so competitive, and there were so many people that I knew applied every year, hundreds of people. That I knew that there was a part of me that had an unbelief about us getting it. But this year, God put it on my heart, and there was belief there. Every sentence that I typed, I did not have doubt that it was going to happen. I am not up here bragging on myself because I am not that intelligent. But what I am going to do every time I have the privilege to get behind here is to brag about God and how awesome that He is. And if you'll believe Him for everything that He is, see, the Word of God says that everything is possible to those that believe. Can I get you to believe this morning and not have the doubt? And if you're having doubt, can I get you to say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over the doubt that's trying to creep into my heart and into my mind. Lord, I cast that doubt down. And Lord, I tell that faith to come up. See, you're going to speak to something, and whatever you're going to choose to speak to, that's the thing that's going to listen to you. When you're doubting in your mind, you're speaking to the doubt, and you're saying, yes, you can have this situation. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Or you can speak to your faith, and you can say, Lord, I thank you, God, that that's a done deal. Lord, you put it on my heart to ask you for it. God, I'm not going to doubt you, but Lord, all I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to thank you for it. Now, I'm not going to lie, and I'm trying not to come off cocky because people hate cocky pastors, or so I'm told. I got the email And all I could see was the first couple sentences, congratulations, Parish Christian Center. I didn't even open it up till about 11 o'clock that night, and I said, Lord, thank you for doing what you said you was going to do. God, thank you for doing what you said you'd do. Lord, thank you for bringing it to pass. When you're praying, are you believing? When you're standing in faith, are you in faith or are you in doubt? Maybe there's a little bit of both. Okay, if there is, begin to speak to the doubt. Say, God, help me to overcome the doubt that's inside of me. Address it. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 15. And this is Paul. And he was writing to Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to read verse 15 through 19. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So here's Paul, and he wrote to them, I am praying to God for him to give you wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. There's times I ask people, what are you believing God for? And they don't know. That's a problem. That's a problem. Get to where you know what you need from God. Sometimes in some of my darkest moments, I've said, Lord, I don't even know what it's going to take to get through this problem, but Lord, I'm asking you to do whatever it takes. God, if you need to change something in me, God, change me. God, if you need to change the circumstance, Lord, change the circumstance. If you need to change another person's heart, God, change their heart. See, what are you believing him for? Have you talked to him about it? Have you prayed about it? What is prayer? A conversation with the Lord. Wisdom and revelation. There's power in believing. Some have trouble believing because they don't know what they're believing God for. Asking for wisdom and revelation. I've had a problem for about 8 months. And for 8 months, I've been kind of tormented over it. And I thought, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work itself out. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And you know, I'm a person. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a person. The other day, I just sat on the recliner, and I said, Lord, I'm in a really awful mood over the fact that you ain't done nothing about this problem yet. And that's got me just a little peeved. And I said, God, what do I got to do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I turned on a Joyce Meyer show, and I let my spirit just calm down, and I just begin to hear somebody else's preaching. I don't know how other pastors are, but I know mine, and I've got a sermon in my head 24 hours a day. Sometimes I get sick of myself. This was that day. And after that episode, I just put the TV on shut up mode, and I just kind of rested in God's presence, and God said, I want you to call this person. And when you get on the phone with them, I just want you to tell them that you've had this problem for 8 months and that I told you to call them and they were going to help you work this out. I haven't talked to this person in a long time. Well, I get on the phone with them. Have a lot of respect for this person. I said, look, I'm really going through a battle and I've had an issue for about 8 months. And I haven't had any direction. But I believe in my heart that God spoke to me this morning and told me to call you and you were going to help me. This person said, Pastor Kelly, I know just what it's going to take to fix the problem. Within the day, by the end of that day, it was a done deal. It was a done deal. Sometimes we're discouraged because what we're believing and we're asking God for is taking some time. I'm a very impatient person, but you know what? I never pray for patience either. Because I'm like, God will get me right up in a McDonald's line that I don't want to be in, and he'll have me waiting for like 45 minutes. See, I don't pray for patience. I ain't praying for that. So God's going to have to just give it to me without me praying for it. Because I know the second I pray for patience, Brother John, I'm going to be waiting and having to be patient every corner I go. Now, I'm going to tell you, for 8 months, I've cried tears over it. I've had stress over it. I've had a little bit of sadness over it. I've gone through so many things. I just kept saying, Lord, I know you're going to do something. I know you're going to do something. Finally, I said, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? A very simple thing. Kelly, call this person. You know what? Before they even said hello, I believed that it was done. I believe that it was done. Get alone with God. Talk to Him about what you're going through. Let Him talk back to you. Let Him show you and tell you some things that He wants to do. And then believe what He said. A lot of people, they have trouble because they can't get alone with God and give God time for Him to even speak with Him. Oh, we're too busy. Netflix has got this show on. I want to do this. Got to go over here and run this over there. No. You need a God moment. You need a God appointment for Him to give you some direction on some things. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 6. Believing changes everything. Believing changes everything. I was writing this grant, and we have now had our MANA Center for a year. We got it. Keys turned over to us last year in March, so it's finally been a complete year. And I've looked at a specific corner of the MANA Center, and I've seen a fridge there that was very expensive. So when I look at this corner, when I go in the MANA Center, I just say, Lord, thank you for the fridge that you're going to put there. And as I wrote this grant, they asked a question, And I'm telling you, God will bring you to a place where you remember some of the things that He's done for you, and that will get your believing up. If you're believing God for something, I encourage you, look at your past and look at all the times that He came through for you. Look at all the times that He did exactly what He said that He's going to do. And so they said, do you believe that your food ministry has changed lives? And I know that it has, Brother James. It has. But the longer that I went and began to explain our food outreach and our food ministry, God brought me to the beginning of it. And it was very humble beginnings for the food outreach. And I put in there, I said, I can guarantee you that the food ministry has changed lives because it has changed my life. Because it's changed my life. Has it changed the lives of many, many children and many families and many elderly and, yes, hundreds? Stop looking around at what's going on with everybody else and you focus on your life. I said, yes, it has changed lives because it's changed my life. I said, it's made me a better pastor. It's made me a better mother. It's made me a better neighbor. It's made me a person that looks and they think, is that person eating or are they starving? What's going on with that elderly person that looks like they've been eating cat food or something? I mean, you know, I go by this one lady's house on Mondays and she's told me that she's eating cat food. You know what, Melissa? That bothers me. You know why? Because I know it bothers God. Don't tell me there ain't enough food in America to feed people, because there is. Well, when I finally opened up that email, they said, you know, we don't even want to give you a grant out of this original grant that we were even doing. We got a special one just for special things, and we believe that this is one of those special things. I'm going to tell you something. God will pull you out of many, and He will put you over here, and He will bless you. He will defend you. He will back you. He will heal you. He will provide for you. He will have your back. But let me tell you something. What can you believe Him for? God can do whatever you believe Him for. But if you come to a place in your prayers where you say, God, I'm asking you for this, and then there's the devil, you stop that prayer and say, God, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you for coming into my prayer life, and I cast you down, and I tell the faith to rise up and to begin to wholeheartedly believe God for what I'm asking. I'm asking you to believe God for everything that you need from Him. Believe Him. Everything's possible to those that believe. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's impossible to completely please God without having faith in Him. What is faith? Believing Him. Believing Him. Believing Him. I was talking to Carson Paul a few weeks ago, and he was telling me something. How many of you know when your kids are lying and when they're telling the truth? He was telling me something. And Carson's got a little thing in his eyes when he's telling the truth. There's something inside of him, and I can just look at him, and he was telling me something, and he said, Mom, do you believe me? And I said, yeah, Carson, I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Can you tell God this morning, God, I believe you. God, I believe you. I believe that you're going to do that. I believe that your word is true. Lord, I believe that you're going to bring about what you've promised. God, I believe it. If you've come to that place where you do believe it, I challenge you to begin to thank him for it. Thank him for it in faith. In faith. I've been looking into that corner of the Manna Center for a year. God, I thank you. Because, Lord, you know I ain't going to be buying no big, expensive, commercial-grade refrigerator. But, God, you will. Because, God, that's what you told me and you inspired my heart that you wanted up in there. I've learned that whatever God orders, God will pay for it. Last place for me this morning, Genesis chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16. Okay. I love my dad so much. Thank you also, Eli. We're going to go to Genesis 15 and 6. If you've got parents and they're still living, you love on them. If you've got hard feelings with them, you need to be working on getting them out of your life and out of that relationship. Amen. Because ain't nobody stick by you like your parents do. I remember in the pandemic preaching to an empty church. And it was at a Christmas service. And the whole church was empty. And I was set up with this table, and I had it decorated for Christmas, and we put it in the back of the corner over there, and then we got some cameras, and we put them over there. My mom and dad were sitting right where Zach and Eli are sitting, and they were watching me preach to an empty church. And I could hear coughing. And it was my dad coughing. And I remember every time he coughed, in my heart I said, Lord, thank you for my parents. Thank you for my parents. They have been with me in the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And when they couldn't be there, they did a good job raising me, and I've been with the Lord since I was 7 years old. Don't tell me God don't talk to kids. Don't tell me that God can't call a child. Don't tell me that, because see, my life shows different. But Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abram was talking to the Lord, and he was telling God that he didn't have any children. So he'd have to leave one of his servants everything. And God spoke to him, and he said, no, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. What you see is having none. I'm going to make you to where you've got more than everybody else. And in verse 6, it's important that we do exactly what Abram does here. It says, Abram He had a conversation with God, and God told him, you're not going to have to leave everything to one of your servants. You're going to leave it to one of your children. And you're going to have a lot of children, and I'm going to make you great. In your old age, when you think it's impossible, that's when I'm going to do it. And it says here, Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed God. Abram was an old man when God said, I'm going to give you some kids. He was old. But he believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. There was a blessing for believing. For believing. I challenge you this morning to believe. With everything that you have, if there's any doubt, address that doubt. Because see, God wants to, whatever you're asking God for, here's what I know about God. And he says it in his word, my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher. Whatever we can ask God for in faith and we believe it, here's what I know about the Lord. He will give you more than what you've asked for. He will give you better than what you asked for. He will give you something that you never even thought about asking him for. If you sat here today and you're saying, God, I am believing you for something. I can see in my life where there's some doubt there. And God, I want to address that doubt. Lord, I don't want to have the doubt. Lord, help me to overcome the doubt that I do have about this situation. I'm going to ask you to stand up and respond to the word of God. Because see, the Lord was asked by this man. He said, Lord, I do believe, but Father, help me to overcome the unbelief. If you're needing to overcome the unbelief this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak belief on your children right now, God, in every area. Lord, in the places where the unbelief has tried to creep in, God, I thank you that faith is rising in your children right now. Lord, I thank you that nothing is impossible for you, God, that everything is possible when we believe. And so right now, I speak to the hearts. And I speak to doubt and unbelief in this place right now. And I tell it to be replaced with belief right now. With assurance. God, with confidence that you're going to do exactly what you've promised. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope to see you this evening at 5:30.